Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. Open segments coming up after our next guest. So that will take us from around 5:40 to the top of the hour, so get yourself online. But right now, a chance to talk some SEC and more. Doug Segrist joins us, formerly with the Nashville Banner and Birmingham News, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Doug, always a pleasure, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks, Ballpark.
Hey, Doug, by the way, earlier this hour, Keller was talking about Gonzaga and, you know, and the fact that, you know, right now we look at what they've been able to do in the regular season. They're entering the week 24-0, number one team in the country, undefeated. And here's a program that, you know, I technically they're a mid-major, but, you know, to me, they're just the best team out of this mid-major conference that's not really mid-major as long as Gonzaga is a part of it because of their run since that 1999-2000 season where, you know, they're making the NCAA tournament every year. The only time they didn't do it until this year, that was last year when the tournament was not held. But the problem is, you know, what are you trying to get accomplished? If you're trying to win a championship, I've said this, maybe they need to switch conferences. If their goal now is to win a national title in college basketball, being in the West Coast Conference, that's not, you know, helping you too much. I understand they play, you know, three or four good non-conference games a year, but you need to be more tested than that. I look at a Big Ten, you know, with four teams this week in the top ten, like Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio State. Even inside the SEC with Bama, Arkansas, et cetera, you know, you're going to at least be able to make a run to the Sweet 16. But the problem with Gonzaga, you know, I don't see you getting yourself, you know, battle-tested in time for the tournament, and that's why – you know, Elite Eight is usually it. You know, they did have the runner-up season back in 2016 and 17, but still no national titles to show for it. And usually you get eliminated by the time you get to the Sweet 16 if you're talking about Gonzaga.
Yeah, I think this team's different. I think this team can win it all. The biggest problem they have is location. You know, they can't move to the American. They can't move to the Big East. They can't really elevate. You know, the Pac-12's not going to take them because they – don't play football. They're not in a big enough market, you know, so they really don't have any options. But this was the schedule, and some of these games got canceled. But their first four games were Kansas, Auburn, West Virginia, won them all by, on average, about 10 points. Then Tennessee game was postponed. They had Iowa, beat Iowa by 11, beat Virginia by 23. And so, yeah, the conference schedule isn't the most challenging, but they do play BYU. St. Mary's is usually pretty good. San Diego sometimes is good, not this year. Loyola Marymount's had, you know, had their moments. So even then, their mid-major league is one of the better mid-major leagues. But I think this year, I think they've already proven against top 15 NCAA tournament teams that they can play with anybody. So I would be shocked if they're not in the Final Four.
If they don't win it, then we go back to, if not this year, then when?
Yeah, I mean, it's this year bust. I mean, this is their best shot. They're going to have the number one overall seed, so they're going to have the best route possible. They've got a veteran lineup. And, you know, and you've seen other mid-majors. You know, I would like to see what Dayton could have done last year with the big seven-footer and never had a chance. And now Dayton's good, but they've certainly dropped off. And that's the thing about Gonzaga. You know, they are consistently good, and at some point they're going to pull it off.
I mean, this year, out of their conference of 10 teams, there's only two teams that you would consider in the, you know, above average kind of teams, and that's Gonzaga and BYU. That's it from their league this year. You know, you brought up like St. Mary's. They're 4-6 in conference play. You know, Everybody else, Loyola Marymount, they're two games above 500. That's good for third spot as far as inside the conference. And that's what I'm getting at, that when you start having to, you know, are you getting better? Maybe you get better as far as practice, because I don't know how much better you get with this kind of competition. 15 of their 24 games were against this kind of competition, and you know, you get to the point where you, and some teams play down to the competition, or you don't get better when you go through that. And that's the only point I'm making. If they don't do it this year, I don't know if they ever will.
Agree. I think one advantage they have, though, is that they're freshmen. Yeah, they've played all the games. They had that streak of three that were canceled early on. Since then, every game's been played. But they're not being challenged. So in my mind, they're going to come off with some fresher legs. And the reason that makes a difference is we know the Big Ten, top to bottom, is the best league in college basketball this year. And really, for the last 5 years, it's been one of the top two leagues. But when was the last time a Big Ten team won the national title? They just wear themselves out. And while we've got four teams in the top seven, all of which could win, I really love this Michigan team. What are they going to have left in the tank? I think that's been a real problem for them in past years.
Well, I go back to when you get these upsets in the opening games, you know, 15 over 2, 14 over 3, whatever the case may be. If you win a game like that, then your next game is, you know, you have a really good chance of advancing to the Sweet 16 because of that. Then at that point, then it gets really dicey, because most likely you're going to be tipping off against a number one seed or something along those lines. But because of the fact that if you're in that 15 or 16 spot or 14, that usually means you're playing in a conference that's not well respected as far as from the committee standpoint. A lot of it has to do with the fact that you really haven't been challenged a lot in the regular season.
Yeah, and this year we had inter-conference games or intersectional games, but we didn't really. A lot of the better games got canceled. For example, Baylor and Gonzaga were supposed to play each other at one point, and that got postponed. Well, it got canceled. And so we're not seeing just as many good games across the country, so it's really kind of hard to gauge conferences this year. But if I had to take my money on the top three seeds against the field, I would probably go with the top three seeds, because I think they have differentiated themselves, and I'm including Michigan in that list.
Right now, it looks like there's going to be six teams from the SEC getting their ticket punched as far as the big dance. The team that I would not want to see right now would be Arkansas, a team that's won 10. I mean, think about this. This team started out 2-4 inside the conference, 10 straight wins for them. They're going to finish second behind Alabama as far as the regular season title is concerned. But with the latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi, Bama looks like a number two team. If Illinois had lost last night, Alabama still had the hopes of maybe making it to that number one seed line, but I don't think that's going to be the case now. So to me, whoever, if it's Alabama winning the SEC tournament next week, then Bama will be the number two seed. If it's Arkansas in that situation, that you could see a flip-flop there where Arkansas is a two seed, Alabama a three seed.
I think Alabama's pretty much locked in at the two, and unless, let's say, they lost to Georgia and then their first game in the SEC tournament, then maybe that happens. I think Arkansas certainly is playing for a higher seed, because they're just red hot right now. And you're right, they are the hottest team in the conference, and I haven't seen any evidence of them slowing down. I mean, they seem to get better with each game. I thought maybe they run into a bump against South Carolina, because they come off those two emotional games with Alabama and LSU and just obliterated them last night. So this is a team on a roll, and I think they could use – here's the problem. I think getting to the SEC tournament final is the key, not necessarily winning, because I think the seeds are pretty much done by the time the championship game tips off. So that's the key for them, is getting to the tournament final. I think that could move them up a line or two.
If you're a Tennessee team right now, you know, they drop one spot there on the number six line. So you're talking about a team that could be a five, could be a six, depending on what they do, you know, starting on Sunday against, you know, hosting the Florida Gators before they get into the SEC tournament next week. But, you know, to me, if you're on that sixth line, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad spot to be. If you're a five seed, that means, you know, you have a probably a 1-4 chance, if not 2-4 chance of losing, because, you know, the five seeds, you always get at least one, if not a couple, getting upset by one of those 12 seeds, usually that going to a mid-major team that not getting a lot of respect as far as conference-wise, and they can shock the world, per se. But I don't know if that necessarily hurts Tennessee if they actually do drop to a six seed, for example.
I think that is a very high seed for them, and probably really hard, probably higher than they really deserve at this point, because they're not playing good basketball, and they haven't played good basketball in over a month, but their metrics are so good, and what they did in the non-conference season is paying off again. He schedules so well. I think six seed would just be gravy for them, and you've got to hope that a new season, they somehow find the magic they had early on, and that really, it's not offense. It goes back to defense and just pounding the boards and really suffocating other teams. And I think once they get out of play, we might see somewhat out of SEC play, we might see some of that rebirth, because they are, you know, they really kind of fit for a run in the tournament. As bad as they've looked lately, they've got experience, they've got size, they can defend inside and on the perimeter, but SEC teams seem to have them figured out.
Hey, thank goodness that Arkansas won on the road last night, because up until then, only three teams inside the SEC had records above 500 away from their home courts. And Arkansas, with that win, they're now 5-4 away from Arkansas, but they join now Alabama, the Florida Gators, and Missouri. But speaking of Missouri, it's another team fading fast. I mean, now they're dropped, according to Joe Lunardi, with the latest today, to the 8-seed line. That's a team that's been limping in as far as the regular season down the stretch.
And a hard team to figure out. I mean, they've got as many top 10 wins as anybody in the country. But since beating Alabama, they have struggled just to show up. And this is a team with too much talent. They got inside, outside mix. But again, they've got experience, and maybe a reboot will help them, because, you know, they did this by scheduling the right way and playing some tough games early on. But right now they're kind of struggling to get to the finish line.
You know, depending how Florida plays against Tennessee on Sunday, if they win, you know, I'd probably include them with Alabama and Arkansas, the teams that I think that can make the best run as far as March Madness is concerned. But really intrigued to see what happens to the Gators in this matchup with Tennessee on Sunday.
Well, and here's the deal about Florida. I mean, they played just about the whole season without their best player, and I think it took them a while to come to grips with that. But they're still uneven, and that's my frustration there. But again, I think the league, I've heard some people say the league's down this year. I disagree. I think the league is good across the board, and I think right now it's just a matter of attrition. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just get away from, you know, these teams you see two, three times a year and get a fresh start. Listen, it's good, but it's nowhere close to where the Big Ten is, where they're just, you know, you've got all those top 10 teams beating each other physically. So I think you could see a couple of SEC teams go on a run. I would probably have Florida, I might have them third, yeah, but behind Arkansas and Alabama as far as depth goes. And again, I keep giving up on Tennessee, but I think this Tennessee team has the experience to make waves if they get the right draw.
And the part that I understand about that comment, and I've heard that too, and it's like you're just not paying attention to the SEC. I mean, remember back during the Big 12 Challenge, the SEC took that against the Big 12. But like if you look at just, you know, the NCAA net, which is like the old RPI, you have Alabama in the top 10, Arkansas at 19. You have five total teams inside the top 31 in the country. You have four inside the top 26. You have eight inside the top 65. There's 340-plus teams playing Division I basketball. How do you, when you have over half the league inside the top 65 in the country, how can the league be down?
I don't get that. I just think people don't watch enough basketball elsewhere. Listen, SEC games can get ugly at times. Sometimes I think they over officiate, but it's very physical. sometimes you have turnover fest, but a lot of that has to do with the defensive pressure. And for all the talk about what Alabama and Arkansas are doing on the offensive end, their real strengths are on the defensive end. And you know, when you're facing these teams week after week, sometimes the play looks a little shoddy. And, you know, we talk about the home court advantage. You've got less fans, but I think it's actually affected the officiating more. It just seems to me like home teams are getting more calls than ever, and I think part of it's because you got a small crowd and you can hear everything. So when the crowd gets mad at a, you know, an official, sometimes you want to kind of even things out for the home team, and I think that's been more play this year. And that's, I'm sure officials will tell me I'm totally wrong on that, but that's from a layman's eye, that's how it's looked.
I mean, I'm projecting right now, I expect three SEC teams in the Sweet 16, which means that makes up right just under 20% of all the teams remaining, right? And so Bama, Arkansas, two of those teams. And as far as the other mix, you know, take your pick, whether it's Florida, who knows? It could, we could have even four.
LSU.
You can go yeah. LSU. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Just because I think they have the ability, they've got the guard play, and they've got the ability to light it up offensively. You know, if they get hot on a run, they don't play a lick of defense, and that's a concern. But they're athletic enough that, you know, if they get the right – it's all about matchups, though. And it's really hard to predict anything until we see how it plays – not how it plays out, but how it's laid out. Because – you know, if Alabama's the number two seed, but they're in the same bracket as Gonzaga, you know, maybe Elite Eight is their absolute ceiling. But if it's Illinois or Iowa, I like the chances of getting the Final Four a lot better. But it's all about matchups at this point.
As far as before we let you go with spring football just around the corner inside the SEC, which team are you focused on that you feel like can – that spring practice will benefit them more than any other team inside the conference?
Texas A&M to me. Got to replace Kellen Mott, but they've got a lot of talent coming back, and they were so close to being really, really great this year. Very, very good, but not quite at that top level, and I think they are pointed in that direction. You know, the problem is they're still going to have to go through Alabama and LSU and Auburn, but I'm not sold that LSU is going to be back next year. I think Auburn takes a step back, so the door is kind of wide open for A&M to really challenge Alabama even more than they did this year.
Always a pleasure, buddy. If you're not doing so already, make sure you follow Doug on Twitter at DSegrist. Once again, we appreciate you coming on. Continue to stay safe. All my best to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Doug Segrist once again.